Hallelujah. Good morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and thank you for your great love and your words of life and encouragement this morning, Father God. Thank you, Lord, as we go into this word, Father God. I thank you. I remember your precious words in Jeremiah 9:23, where you said, "Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches." And then we could add here, "And let not the Jew boast in the law," because it's all a shadow. But it goes on to say, "But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." So I thank you, Lord, that you just help us to move from the shadows, from the types, from the tutors of the law, and into the reality of a God that is with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. You're a very present help. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're reading Romans 2 from verse 17 to 24. "Now, you claim to be a Jew because you lean upon your trust in the law and boast in your relationship with God. And you claim to know the will of God and to have the moral high ground because you've been taught the law of Moses. You're also confident that you are a qualified guide to those who are blind, a shining light to those who live in darkness. You are confident that you are a true teacher of the foolish and immature, all because you have the treasury of truth and knowledge in the law of Moses. So let me ask you this. Why don't you practice what you preach? You preach, 'Don't steal,' but you are a thief. You are swift to tell others, 'Don't commit adultery,' but you are guilty of adultery. You say, 'I hate idolatry and false gods,' but do you withhold from the true God what is due him? Even though you boast in the law, you dishonor God, the lawgiver, when you break it. For your actions seem to fulfill what is written, 'God's precious name is cursed among the nations because of you.'"
But you can you see all the requirements, what God is actually wanting from us? Well, let's read that. He wants us to be a qualified guide to those who are blind. He wants you to know his will, and he wants you to have the moral high ground, because you've been taught by him, not the law of Moses. Okay, where's the others? "You're confident that you're a true teacher of the foolish and the immature, all because you have the treasures of truth and knowledge, not in the law of Moses, but in Jesus Christ." So you've got the wonderful picture there of exactly, you know, what God is requiring. But it's not in the shadows. The law was a shadow. Paul was the one that was so into the law, but he had to get knocked off his horse and he had to wake up to the Lord and then be taught by the Lord, walk with the Lord, and then share the wonderful treasures that we are all being encouraged with daily or whenever you go into the letters of Paul. And then you've got many other things. I mean, we think of power and we think of Nebuchadnezzar boasting in his power and his might. And what happened? He was brought down because it came from God. God gave that. So we've got to put God first. And putting God first, God the Father first, we put the Lord first because he's our Savior. I love it in the picture of the gospel being put across in the Old Testament, Isaiah 40, where it speaks about comfort because our sins have been taken away. And then he says, what is the big comfort? Behold your God. He comes. He's a shepherd. And that's the reality, guys. We got to get away from these copies. And as we go, if you read Colossians chapter 2, you see there's so many of the things that can trap you up and you can be busy with the shadow and not the reality. But we look to Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Why is Jesus Lord? Because he's been raised from the dead. And what's the significance there? If he's still in hell paying the price for us, we are still caught up in sin, but we have been set free from sin. He's Lord now to shepherd us in righteousness. And so we need to wake up to the realities. I think of shadows again. You've got shadows in Hebrews chapter 12. You got the talking about Mount Sinai, where everyone was fearful and wouldn't come near the mountain. And that's old covenant. But then he goes on to talk about the new Jerusalem, the kingdom of God. And there again, we all find these realities in Jesus. You've got in Matthew 26, you've got the shadow of remembering Jesus when you're breaking bread and you're drinking wine. But then you got the reality of drinking new wine together with the Lord. And it's again, those are realities. So we can use and remember the shadows, but I don't even think remember the shadow. Move on to the realities. If you got a reality, you don't want a shadow any longer. You finish with the shadow. So we've got just so much realities. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 speaks about the law written on the stone there by Moses, and it's declared then by the Jews and the people that hold on to and love the law. And then you've got the picture of the Lord writing his laws on our hearts and our minds. And then he goes on so beautifully to say, when we behold the glory of the Lord now, we are transformed from glory to glory by the Spirit. So there's greater realities is found in Jesus becoming your Lord, becoming your Savior, becoming your Shepherd. And that's the reality that you need to stay with. Amen.
Amen.